I'm Ashley Legasic.
And I'm Catherine DeClercq.
And we make up CTV's newest podcast, Life Unmasked.
We'll bring you everything you need to know about exactly how we're going to return to normal life post-pandemic.
New episodes come out every Thursday morning on iHeartRadio, and they're available on all streaming platforms later in the day.
We hope you'll tune in.
Class, but hardly back to normal. A week that's been circled on the calendars of households right across this province, the return of school. The pandemic, once again, at the top of the lesson plan. Good evening. Hard to believe, but this will be the third academic year affected by COVID-19.
Students, educators, and parents all hoping the next few months will finally return some routine. But amid the excitement, there is added apprehension. We begin our coverage with CTV's Sean Lethong live in Mississauga tonight. Sean.
Well, Nathan, you mentioned hope there. Many parents were saying that same word today, hopeful that they will get through the school year. But experts are acknowledging as they put COVID protocols in place, this is largely an experiment.
The end of the first day of school. Students walking home experiencing a bit of the old routine. But safety protocols are evident, marking the reality of now.
It feels very strange because I'm not really used to it still.
We were definitely having to social distance, which I think is good.
I feel okay with it because they're making sure that everything's good in the schools and that nobody catches COVID-19.
Some of the safety measures in place for all schools include masking for all grades 1 to 12, including teachers, cohorting, and physical distancing. Beyond that, the Ministry of Education is pointing to efforts for enhanced air circulation. In a statement released today, Minister Stephen Lecce said, "We have deployed standalone HEPA units into every kindergarten class, into every learning space without mechanical ventilation, and some school boards have even gone further by placing HEPA units in every classroom." But the school year is starting at a time when new cases are rising, and children under 12 are unable to be vaccinated, and of school-aged children over the age of 12, only 64% are fully immunized. That has experts saying we need to brace for more cases.
Of course, someone's going to bring COVID into the school. We know that. Of course, we're going to see transmission in the school. We know that.
Just yesterday, children aged 0 to 19 accounted for 152 new COVID-19 cases. Dr. Isaac Bogosh says this school year is a test in the ability to react.
The whole key is to reduce the probability of someone bringing it in, and when someone does, to reduce the probability and the magnitude of the transmission within the school.
Parents outside St. Margaret of Scotland Catholic Elementary School in Mississauga are saying that these students know how to stay safe.
They've had it ingrained in them for the last 2 years.
I've got faith in them that I've taught them well. You know.
As long as everybody's masked up and we're all being responsible, I think we'll all be good.
But it is just day one of what they can only hope will be a long year.
And many of the parents we spoke to say that they are hopeful this will go well, but when focusing just on today, they are a bit relieved that day one is out of the way. Reporting live, I'm Sean Lethong. Michelle, send it back to you.
Thank you, Sean. And our online team is answering some of the most common questions around back to school, including when a child should be kept home from class. You can find that coverage from multi-platform writer Catherine DeClercq at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
Like the start of every school year, this is a moment with mixed emotions.
And perhaps those feelings are slightly heightened this time around amid some of the traditions of September. CTV's Janice Golding is live in Pickering tonight with more. Janice.
Hi, Michelle. It was a big day for Durham Regents Catholic School students. And while everyone we spoke to today was excited, there was the usual back-to-school jitters combined with a little extra anxiety due to COVID-19.
The joy was evident to students reunited with their friends after months apart.
I got up earlier than my parents.
Students at St. Monica Catholic Elementary School in Pickering returning to the classroom for the first time since the spring when Ontario schools closed to in-person learning due to rising COVID-19 case counts.
I'm excited to get to see all my friends.
Playing with my friends. I got new pencils, I got new erasers, I got new masks.
As excited as the kids are, many parents say they're also happy their children can return to school.
Definitely I've seen a negative impact on her mental health, so we needed to get her back into the new norm.
Virtual school is kind of tough, so just seeing the kids back, in an environment that's positive is, you know, very, very good.
With her being so young with the online schooling, it was hard for her to read and do the stuff on her own.
All that being said, parents say they're well aware we're still in a pandemic, and some express concern about their children being back in an indoor group setting.
Of course, yes, absolutely. I'd be lying if I said I didn't, but I mean, we can't live like that.
I'm a healthcare professional. I worked with COVID patients as well, and I think it would have been great if the parents of the kids had to be vaccinated to go back to school, and teachers as well.
Yeah, no, I think we're a little concerned a little bit. We just want to make sure everyone's safe.
Hand sanitizers, making sure that they have their mask.
And while the kids say they're also a little nervous about COVID-19.
I'm a little bit worried.
By and large, they were just happy to resume normal activities.
Playing. We got to make a craft. We got to bring our toys outside.
Cool.
Very nice. I have a lot of friends.
You ready, Big Smile?
So even with the specter of COVID-19 looming, it didn't completely overshadow the back-to-school excitement families were experiencing today.
Now, masks are mandatory for children across the province, grades 1 and above, although the Toronto District School Board has made them mandatory for children from kindergarten up. That is not the case here in Durham Region, although masks are strongly recommended for all grades. Reporting live, I'm Janice Golding. Now back to Michelle.
Thank you, Janice. Next to the big change at the border and the growing group of travelers now welcome on Canadian soil.
The rules are easing for foreign nationals as long as there's proof of vaccination. CTV's Austin Delaney's live at Pearson Airport with more. Austin.
Well, not hard to find international travelers taking advantage of these new rules. They're coming in, they're double vaccinated, and they're walking in armed with a negative COVID test.
Among the non-essential international passengers arriving at Pearson today, Christine from Germany, here to finally visit friends again.
Well, because actually borders are now open, so we learned that today borders are open and you are able to entry again. So that's why this was my first day to choose.
As of midnight, non-essential international travelers can enter Canada but must have two Health Canada approved vaccines administered at least 14 days prior to arrival, be asymptomatic, and carry a COVID-19 negative test taken no longer than 72 hours prior to the flight.
Last time I was here in January 2020, and then I just waited for this day.
Pearson is now expecting an influx of passengers and is warning of delays getting out of the airport. The amount of time that may be required for international arriving passengers to complete the arrivals process during COVID-19 has increased. So far today, passengers say it was smooth sailing through customs.
There were a lot of people, but they did a fine job.
Easy, super easy. Easy breezy, great. Lines were short and the flow was great. And yeah, everything was seamless.
For me, it was really fast. I just went in and then they cross-checked all of my paperwork.
Medical experts say the risk of international passengers bringing COVID into the country is low.
If you truly have someone who's fully vaccinated, the likelihood that they're infected is greatly reduced. The likelihood that if they are infected and they just are not as transmissible to others. Now, will we bring in some cases of COVID-19 through this? Of course we will.
Border services will order random COVID tests on arrival.
And there are other restrictions still in place. If you're inside the terminal, you must wear a mask. If you're picking up or dropping off, you are not allowed in that terminal. Reporting live, I'm Austin Delaney.
Thank you, Austin. And the changes come as Porter Airlines prepares to resume service tomorrow for the first time since the start of the pandemic. Meanwhile, Air Canada will be resuming flights from Toronto's Island Airport as well.
They say they followed all the rules. So why were an Ontario woman and her son denied boarding a flight back to Canada?
Forced to rent a car and drive across the border, a long detour following critical medical care in the United States. CTV's Beth McDonnell reports.
We've just literally been left at our gate on hold. They won't let us board the plane.
A return flight home to Canada denied after a needed medical appointment for 4-year-old Christopher.
They're not back, baby. They're not letting us on the plane.
Christopher lives with a rare condition affecting his muscle development and mobility and goes to the United States for specialized care.
I just felt really abandoned.
On their latest trip coming back from Philadelphia, Christopher's mom, Crystal Becker, says she couldn't board their Air Canada plane because she didn't have negative results from a COVID-19 test. even though Government of Canada rules exempt people accompanying a traveler returning from a medical treatment from having the test.
It was heartbreaking. It's a really hard journey being a parent to a child with a rare condition.
Before leaving, Becker says she followed all the instructions to ensure she could fly seamlessly and would have happily got the test if it was required. The exemption is even explained through a link she received via an Air Canada email, which directed her to a Government of Canada website stating the exemption. Becker and Christopher ended up doing the 750-kilometre drive back home.
Upset. I felt like I was a criminal.
Crossing the land border, she says agents were familiar with the exemption.
We're home, and we are so happy.
Air Canada tells CTV News it will refund the fare. The decision to deny Becker based on direction from the Canada Border Services Agency. The CBSA reconfirmed with CTV News the current border measures provide the exemption.
In all honesty, I'm kind of deterred from wanting to even attempt to fly again. So I might just seek out traveling by land again.
Becker is sharing her story to help other families who have to make similar journeys with their kids and raise awareness so airlines and officials are familiar with the rules. Beth McDonnell, CTV News.
And you can read more about this story on our website. Multi-platform writer Sean Davidson has full details at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
And straight ahead, soaring to the semifinals. Canada's Leila Fernandez pulls off another incredible upset at the U.S. Open. We'll hear from the newly 19-year-old player about her latest victory in New York.
This is an active weather night across southern Ontario. There are several watches and warnings in effect, depending on where you're watching us from. Michelle Jobin is here with a look at the current conditions. Lots going on, Michelle.
A lot going on, Nathan. And the first thing I should say is take these storms that we are experiencing in southern Ontario seriously as you see them, because they have had a history of some tornadic activity. Now, this is as they've crossed over the upper Great Lakes. All tornado warnings have been dropped at this point, but there are still severe thunderstorm warnings in effect for areas in red right here. Toronto is in a watch. Peel, you are in a watch for severe thunderstorms. That will happen later on. These storms are capable of hail, very gusty winds, and heavy downpours. So there are concerns about localized flooding. In Toronto, we'll most likely see them after 9 o'clock. But just to show you the power of the front as it goes through, 16 degrees in Goderich right now, 25 in Woodstock as the front approaches. So temperatures cooling down quite significantly behind it. I'll let you know about what else you can expect, but expect several rounds of thunderstorms through the region in the next little while. Back to you, Michelle.
Thank you. A man accused of killing his parents in Scarborough has made his first court appearance. Police were called to the home near Kingston Road and Scarborough Golf Club Road just before 8 Sunday night. That's where they discovered the bodies of two people inside. They have now been identified as 65-year-old Lynette Sequeira and 68-year-old Francis Sequeira. Their son, 26-year-old Kyle Sequeira, has been charged with two counts of second-degree murder.
Meantime, we're waiting to hear about upgraded charges after a woman was stabbed at a law office and later died. 29-year-old Julia Ferguson worked as a receptionist at the law firm on King Street East. On Thursday afternoon, a man entered the office and stabbed her. Investigators say the attack was not random and believe the man targeted the business. The suspect has been identified as 33-year-old Osman Osman of Toronto.
Returning to our virus coverage and the newest data from the province.
The 7-day average for the number of new cases stands at 746. As for today, Public Health Ontario is reporting 564 new cases in its most recent update. 434 of those are among people who are either not fully vaccinated or their vaccination status is unknown. More than 17,000 tests have been processed in the last 24 hours, and the province's positivity rate is sitting at 3.4%.
688 more cases are now considered resolved, raising that figure to nearly 555,000 over the course of the pandemic. Three more deaths are linked to the virus, and a total of 9,553 lives have been lost to COVID-19 in Ontario.
And here's a look at tonight's regional breakdown, with 118 new cases in the city of Toronto and 64 in York Region. There are 52 new cases in Peel, with 35 in Hamilton and 32 in Durham Region. Niagara has 23 new cases, with 17 in Halton Region.
CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello is next with the controversy over a public health appointment amid the pandemic. Colin.
You know, Michelle, a year and a half into this pandemic, and not everyone agrees on the best ways to battle COVID-19. One of those voices, though, has moved over from the fringe and into the mainstream. He's been named the acting medical officer of health of a region in Toronto, in Ontario, that has more than 100,000 people. Haldimand Norfolk County is at the center of a growing political fight over who should lead the region's COVID-19 response. The region recently appointed Dr. Matt Strauss as the acting medical officer of health, which immediately ignited controversy.
I think if you look at Dr. Strauss's views, they're very personal. They're very political. And that's not what I want from my physician or a medical officer of health.
Strauss has been a vocal critic of lockdowns and school closures as a means of fighting the pandemic, and said this in a conversation with an anti-lockdown MPP.
Would you want all of the children to be sent home from school to save your life? I think most of the 85-year-olds that I know would say, no, I've had a good life. Like, please do not, yeah, do not shut in all of the children in my region on my account.
Yeah,
no. But death is part of life.
But with few candidates for the position, Strauss was given the role last week. Then his public social media comments left those even on the region's Board of Health feeling uncomfortable.
Live free or die. That's on his Twitter page. It certainly wouldn't be written by someone in the medical field. To me, that just adds fuel to the fire.
CTV News reached out to Dr. Strauss but did not hear back. Instead, the local mayor tried to put his words into context.
Live free or die, you know, he does have, different views on vaccination passports. Do I think there's a problem, though, to have somebody with a difference of opinion on that matter? No, I don't. I don't think that any of us should ever be so self-righteous as to sit here and say that that is absolutely the right course of action.
The issue has quickly become political. Critics say the Ford government should step in. The chief medical officer of health says he's keeping a close watch.
If it is my professional opinion that the population is not being protected to the utmost through public health measures, I do have actions that I can take under the Health Protection and Promotion Act to ensure that all citizens in Haldimand Norfolk are protected against COVID-19.
So faced with fierce opposition to his appointment, Strauss offered a statement in his defense, saying any suggestion that I am anti-science or opposed to life-saving measures is untrue and inappropriate. Accusations that no other health officer in Ontario has faced during the pandemic. And while the chief medical officer of health is monitoring the situation, the Ontario Liberals want them to go even further. They're calling on the government to seize control of that local public health unit, saying the province has the power and they should exercise that power immediately. Reporting live, I'm Colin DeMello. Now back to you.
All right. Thank you, Colin. When it comes to vaccinations, nearly 84% of eligible people in Ontario have now received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. And more than 77.2% of eligible people are double-dosed. And that represents nearly 10.1 million people.
There's more big health news generating buzz tonight. The findings of a local study. And if you're a cannabis user, you'll want to hear them.
New research suggesting recent pot use could be associated with a higher risk of heart issues, particularly in younger adults. CTV's Saran Fennell reports.
In Toronto's downtown core, it's not uncommon to find clusters of cannabis shops within blocks of each other.
And what concerns me the most is that they seem to target young kids. The younger, the better.
Queen Street is heavily saturated with pot shops, and soon other neighborhoods could be too. I'm here in the heart of the Danforth, an area known for its Greek restaurants, but soon a stretch of this street could look a little bit different. From Woodbine Avenue to Broadview Avenue, 5 pot shops have been approved to open up, and another 5 applications are in progress, meaning they've started the eligibility process. According to the Alcohol and Gaming Commission of Ontario, the green check marks on this map are cannabis retailers authorized to open in Toronto, and the gray are licenses waiting for approval.
In both these neighborhoods, the Danforth and the Annex, what makes them so great, or what used to before COVID, was the diversity of small businesses, and if it's all pot shops.
As the popularity and accessibility of cannabis increases, a group of Toronto-based researchers want users to be informed of the potential risks. A new study found those under the age of 45 who consumed cannabis within the past 30 days suffered nearly twice as many heart attacks compared to non-users.
And we found the results were similar no matter how the cannabis was consumed. That is, whether it was smoked, vaporized, or consumed as an edible.
The researchers say the cannabis consumed today is more potent than what was sold in the past.
People are using much higher doses of THC, and because of that, we don't really know what the health effects are.
I'm curious about like the sampling of it, and also how it compares to other things like, I don't know, eating bacon once a week.
The Toronto-based study analyzed survey results of more than 30,000 people aged 18 to 44.
There should be more limits on how and under what conditions they can be sold.
To further explore the topic, the researchers hope to study cannabis users in real time. Siron Fennell, CTV News.
Police in London, Ontario, are investigating after someone threw gravel at Liberal leader Justin Trudeau during a campaign event.
And in a rare show of unity, all federal party leaders condemned the incident today. CTV's Heather Butts reports.
The stage is set for the second debate of this federal election. This is where leaders will square off once again in French. But today, they spoke with one voice, all denouncing violent protests on the campaign trail. Last night, angry protesters hurled more than insults at Justin Trudeau, pelting the Liberal leader with gravel.
Yes, I felt some of that gravel.
Trudeau deflected the attention from himself, expressing concern for healthcare workers and business owners facing backlash from anti-vaxxers.
I am inspired by those people who continue to do the right thing in the face of anti-vaxxer mobs.
Don't throw stones at people because you disagree with them. That is basic.
We live in a great democracy, and let's act like we do.
Aaron O'Toole is today promoting a plan to lower cell phone and internet bills by increasing competition.
Canada's Conservatives will allow foreign companies from places like Europe and the United States to offer cell phone and internet service here.
But only if Canadian companies are welcome in their markets. The Conservatives are pledging more digital infrastructure, investments in rural broadband, and cross-country high-speed internet by 2025. The NDP leader highlighting a plan to lower carbon emissions by electrifying transit.
One of those plans is to double the fund that's used to invest in public transit in municipalities across our country.
$4.4 billion for municipalities to invest in zero-emission buses and electric trains and move towards fare-free transit. The Liberals are once again touting their fix for the housing crisis.
There is no one-size-fits-all answer or solution on housing.
A re-elected Liberal government would stop rent evictions, create rent-to-own programs, and a tax-free home savings account for first-time homebuyers. The Green Party quietly posted its platform online today, promising to cancel all new pipelines and oil exploration and boost greenhouse gas emission reduction targets, with a goal of getting Canada to net negative by 2050.
Green Party leader Annamie Paul will make her debate debut tomorrow night in Gatineau. Leaders face off in English on Thursday, then they're back on the road for the final sprint before voting day. Heather Butts, CTV News, Toronto.
And you can watch both of those debates live on CTV News Channel and at ctvnews.ca. Coverage of tomorrow night's French language leaders debate begins at 8 o'clock.
And on Thursday night, the first English language debate will be held. You can watch that live on the CTV main network, CTV News Channel, and ctvnews.ca. Coverage begins at 9 o'clock.
You can track every development of this campaign as we approach Election Day on September 20th. Visit election.ctvnews.ca.
Just over a week after the U.S. left Afghanistan, the Taliban has announced an interim government. A close associate of the group's late founder will be acting prime minister in the all-male government. It is filled with veterans from the Taliban's hardline rule of the 1990s. The interior minister is on the FBI's most wanted list with a $5 million bounty on his head. The new leaders are seeking international support to avoid an economic crisis in Afghanistan. But there were more signs today that little has changed. The Taliban fired shots into the air to break up a rally in Kabul today. Several Afghan journalists covering the event were arrested. A number of women joined the protest, some whose sons were killed by Taliban fighters they say were aided by Pakistan. It was the second time in less than a week that heavy-handed tactics were used to break up a demonstration.
Joe Biden visited the Northeast today to see firsthand the devastation caused by the remnants of Hurricane Ida. The U.S. president laid much of the blame on climate change.
Every part of the country is getting hit by extreme weather. And we're now living in real time what the country's going to look like. And if we don't do something, we can't turn it back very much, but we can prevent it from getting worse.
Biden toured Manville, New Jersey, and later Queens, New York. He called for federal spending to fortify infrastructure to protect against future storms. At least 50 people were killed in six eastern states following record rainfall last week. On Friday, Biden visited Louisiana, where at least 13 people died.
Still to come, the science suggesting new mothers may be passing COVID-19 protection to their children, plus how that potential may eventually be harnessed to help others.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, if you pay your bills online or at a bank machine, you have to be careful you don't make mistakes. A senior from Peterborough accidentally overpaid his credit card bill by $16,000 and may have to wait months to get his money back. We investigate. That's just ahead.
After an overnight low of 18 degrees with the risk of severe storms tonight, we'll hit a high of 26 tomorrow, feeling like 29. And there is the risk of showers and storms again into tomorrow afternoon. But I want to turn your attention to this system right now. We have more areas being added to severe thunderstorm watches. And these storms along the squall line are packing very, very, very gusty winds and the potential for nickel to ping pong size hail. So do take this very seriously. This bowing in this line of storms, these squalls, is a signature of very strong winds. We're looking at this potential in Toronto, though it should be reduced somewhat by the time we get to 9 o'clock. I'll tell you who's in a watch and warning coming up in your full forecast in about 2 minutes. We'll be back.
Paying utility bills and credit card statements has never been easier, and many people do it using online banking or through a bank machine.
But when you're paying those bills, you want to be careful you don't make a mistake, because if you do overpay, you could have to wait months for a refund. Pat Foran is back tonight with more. Pat.
Thanks, Michelle. And Nathan, a senior from Peterborough, pays his bills using a bank machine and recently was paying off his credit card statement. He accidentally hit an extra zero, and instead of paying $1,800, he paid $18,000.
I can honestly say that I'm not blaming anybody else but myself.
78-year-old James Murray of Peterborough was paying his Capital One credit card bill in early August and owed about $1,800 for his car and home insurance. He was paying the bill through a bank machine when he accidentally paid a lot more than he should have.
I meant to give them $1,800, and I inadvertently pressed an extra zero, and I gave them $18,000. I didn't know this until the next day when I was looking at my receipts.
Murray says when he realized his mistake, he contacted Capital One right away. He was shocked when he was told he would not get his money back for 30 to 60 days. His next credit card statement showed he had a credit of just over $16,000, but Murray says he needed the money back to pay other bills that were also due.
They must realize that they've got money that belongs to me. This has been pretty tough on me, wondering when I'm going to get my money back.
When CTV News contacted Capital One, a spokesperson told us it has established policies in place pertaining to credit card overpayment. But Capital One reviewed Murray's case and said, "We apologize for any inconvenience and that we have addressed Mr. Murray's request and appreciate his business." Instead of a credit, Capital One refunded the $16,000 amount, which Murray was very thankful for.
It's such a relief because that's a large amount of money. I just received a check from Capital One. I really appreciate CTV News and yourself, Mr. Ford. Thank you so much.
And it's a good reminder to be careful when paying bills online or at a bank machine. If you catch the mistake right away, it can usually be corrected the same day. After that, it becomes more difficult to get your money back. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
It's been a Toronto fixture for decades. So how surreal does this look? A section of the Gardiner Expressway is simply no more. Crews spending part of the long weekend demolishing the former Logan Avenue ramps. There will be some weekend road closures in the area for the next several weeks as this work continues. And we're also dealing with a big change in the weather department. The day started one way, it's going to end another.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen, but if you didn't have a raincoat today or an umbrella, I guess you're all right because it's coming tonight.
Well, yeah, I mean, we had a really lovely day earlier, Nathan and Michelle. We had lots of sunshine, slightly above seasonal temperatures, and there's been a little bit more warmth and humidity in the atmosphere, and that is part of the recipe that has helped to fuel these storms that are coming through along this squall line. As the cold front is swinging through, it's really kicked up some active weather. So we did have tornado warnings earlier in areas adjacent to Lake Huron. We saw them in, there were sightings in around the Lucknow area. Now what we're looking at is other areas being added to severe thunderstorms. No tornado watch is in effect at this time, but as I mentioned before, this bowing pattern in the squall line is a very concerning thing because it indicates very, very, very strong winds. So I'll get to more details in a moment. Weather is brought to you by Train for home comfort, cooling, and clean air. It's hard to stop a train. So yes, absolutely take these storms seriously as we get through the next little while. I want to show you who's in a watch and warning right now. There has been a broader special weather statement saying, yes, heavier rainfall, 30 to 50 millimeters possible throughout southwestern Ontario, extending into the Nickel Belt and also the Muskoka region. Areas in the severe thunderstorm watches and warnings could see heavier downpours. There are concerns about localized flooding. The Toronto Region Conservation Authority has alerted to that potential, as have their counterparts in Peel and Toronto Hydro, also concerned about the very strong winds in terms of power outages. So I want to put our forecast radar in motion in just a moment and show you how things will play out. In the Toronto area, it's possible we'll start to see this after about 8 o'clock. The Vaughan area and Hamilton are now in severe thunderstorm warning. So here's our forecast radar. I'm going to put this in motion. Here we go. This is about 9:30 p.m. We've already seen the storms pushing through the Toronto area, extending up towards Barrie, down past the London area. And as we go through the evening, we start to clear out a little bit in the Toronto area, but then there's another round extending all the way down along the shores of Lake Erie here, just past Long Point. And we will very likely hear some rumbles of thunder around 3 a.m., also around 5 o'clock. And this is where we could get these heavier, heavier downpours in the overnight area, hours, I should say. Then as we get into tomorrow, there is the widespread risk of seeing some showers and thunderstorms after some clearing in the morning. We could see more active weather in southwestern Ontario. Right now, temperatures like this, definitely on the warm side down in Windsor. And again, the warmth helping to fuel these storms. Tonight's low, 18 degrees in the city of Toronto. And as we get into tomorrow, a high of 26, 22, a little cooler on Thursday for the first day of school for some children, and then we are looking at 23 on Friday, a little bit warmer for the weekend and starting the beginning of next week with some active weather. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a little bit more with all of your news and weather.
A new study's found the breast milk of vaccinated mothers may help protect their babies from COVID-19.
And now researchers are looking into whether those same antibodies can be harnessed to help adults too. CTV's Avis Favreau reports.
In this lab in Florida, scientists have made an important finding. When pregnant women or new mothers are vaccinated, their breast milk may shield their infants from COVID-19. Researchers found mothers who were naturally infected with the coronavirus developed defensive antibodies in the breast milk. But the new study showed that an mRNA vaccine also boosted antibody levels that rose 100 times higher after the second dose.
Mom is actually doing kind of two things. By providing these antibodies, she's providing immune response to the baby, and also potentially protecting the baby in this period where the baby can't itself become vaccinated.
Scientists around the world are now mobilizing to learn more about the pandemic potential of mother's milk.
The antibodies can coat the virus and make it so that the virus cannot attack the baby's cells.
There are some 700 breast milk banks worldwide, a potential natural source of antibodies against COVID, which some doctors think could be concentrated and turned into medicine for adults. In fact, one Canadian company is creating an inhaled mist to send these antibodies into the lungs of those newly diagnosed with COVID.
We are positioning this as a short dose treatment that could be given immediately after COVID diagnosis so that you can prevent the severity and the duration of that particular infection.
They plan human trials next year. In the meantime, doctors say this is all part of the accumulating evidence that vaccination in pregnancy is safe and how breastfeeding is now more important than ever. Avis Favreau, CTV News, Toronto.
After 15 years of virtual silence, the Toronto woman who accused Bill Cosby of sexual assault is telling her story. Andrea Constand's memoir, The Moment, was released today. The 48-year-old says writing the book helped her find closure. Constand accused Cosby of drugging and assaulting her at his home in 2004. This summer, Pennsylvania's highest court overturned his conviction.
When you watched him celebrate, how did that feel?
Disgusting. It didn't surprise me, given the level of the arrogance, having no remorse during the time he was incarcerated. Absolutely zero remorse for what he did to me.
Despite Cosby being freed, Constand believes the public acknowledgement of her account still stands. She's now working to help protect other survivors of sexual violence.
It may be called the U.S. Open, but young Canadians are seriously impressing on the court in New York.
Layla Annie Fernandez with a thriller of a victory this afternoon to punch her way to the semifinals. And on the men's side, Felix Auger-Aliassime has that same opportunity tonight. CTV's John Musselman reports.
She turned 19 years old just yesterday, but Canadian tennis sensation Layla Annie Fernandez is playing like a seasoned veteran as she advances to the semifinals at the U.S. Open.
Go out there, have fun, fight for every ball, fight for every point. Today's your first quarterfinals. Don't make it your last. Don't make it your last match over here. Fight for your dream.
The Montreal native being cheered on across the country, including at the Richmond Hill Country Club.
She's super fast, super mature mentally in terms of the way she handles herself, the way she composes herself. She's a lefty, which definitely helps. She's able to take time away. She plays really early, so she doesn't give her opponents that much time and space.
Fernandez made it through by defeating number 3 ranked player Naomi Osaka and number 16th ranked player Angela Kerber. Fernandez is ranked 73rd in the world. And she isn't the only Canadian turning heads in New York. 21-year-old Felix Auger-Aliassime, also from Montreal, has himself reached the quarterfinals and plays later this evening. Young tennis players watching at the club in Richmond Hill say this is a terrific boost for the sport.
It's very inspiring, as I said, like a lot of people, especially if I walk down to like public parks, I see way more players playing.
Yeah, it does a lot because they're not that much older than me, and one day I hope to be like where they are right now.
Just motivational for everyone, and I think it's created a little bit of more of a belief factor where, you know, we have kids out here who they see these guys on TV, and, you know, creates that little bit of belief that if they can do it, then we can do it. Why not?
What is it that they're feeding you up north in Canada that is producing such incredible, inspiring tennis this week?
I would say it's the maple syrup. The Canadian maple syrup are very good, so.
Fernandez is now waiting to see who she'll face in the semis as she seeks her first Grand Slam title. John Musselman, CTV News.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
I feel okay with it because they're making sure that everything's good in the schools and that nobody catches COVID-19.
Updating our top stories, it was back to class in Peel Region and other parts of the GTA today. And along with new teachers and classmates, there are new COVID protocols to get used to. The bulk of students returned to school in Toronto on Thursday.
Well, because actually borders are now open, so we learned that today borders are open and you are able to entry again. So that's why this was my first day to choose.
And Pearson Airport is warning of delays. Non-essential international travelers can now enter Canada, provided they've been vaccinated, are asymptomatic, and have a negative COVID-19 test. And that easing of restrictions is being watched by many.
That's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. And we're joined by Reshmi Nair and Lena Latifat. Lena, you'll be talking to tourism industry leaders about the impact on Ontario's economy.
Yeah, you know, Michelle, this is an industry that's really been struggling these past 18 months, have not been good for travel and tourism. But things are changing as of today. Fully vaccinated international passengers, they can enter the country. They don't need to quarantine. This is big. Some much-needed relief for businesses and could be a game-changer for Ontario's economy. We'll have reaction coming up tonight.
And you'll also be looking at taking a closer look at the hate on the campaign trail after gravel was thrown at Justin Trudeau over the weekend, Reshmi.
Yes, Nathan, we're going to talk about that gravel throwing and other hateful things that we've seen on this campaign trail. A lot of Canadians saying this isn't Canada. Other Canadians saying, yes, it is exactly this country. We're going to speak with some journalists who have been investigating white supremacy in this country. We're going to talk about the Canadian Anti-Hate Network identifying some white nationalists at that event in London. So we're going to get into racism on the campaign trail.
All right. Thank you, Reshmi and Lena. And CP24 Tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar was down 81 basis points to close at 79.04 U.S. American benchmark oil slid at 94 cents a barrel to close at 68.35. And the TSX Composite Index lost 15 points to close at 20,806.
After the break, a ride to remember fallen firefighters and their sacrifice for service. The trek that will take this fundraiser to the nation's capital and where that money will go.
Coming up on CP24 Tonight, the path to reopening. How will new border rules impact tourism? And sticks and stones. What candidates are saying as the election race heats up. Our political panel joins live. A closer look at today's top stories tonight at 7 on CP24.
Some firefighters are gathering for a charity bike ride tomorrow. It'll take them from Hamilton to the Fallen Firefighter Memorial in Ottawa.
The three-day trek will have the riders stopping along the way at some local fire stations, all in an effort to raise money for families of members who've died while serving on the job. CTV's multimedia journalist Sean McInnes has more.
This ride we started 5 years ago. We had 13 riders all from Toronto that year, and it's growing now to, you know, close to 60 riders this year. I was at the memorial in 2016 and I was really disappointed on the turnout of firefighters that came that year. So I tried to think of something that we could do to try and bring awareness to the foundation, to the memorial.
Job-related cancers are on the rise, and that's an issue that we're continuing to deal with. And so people who die from cancer as a result of their job, they get recognized as a line of duty death, and their names will be memorialized at the memorial service. So it's, for us, it's a timely thing. Also, the 20th anniversary of 9/11, where 343 firefighters perished.
I came up with this idea. I ran it by a few people, and they thought I was crazy, but I went ahead with it anyway. And like I said, this is our fifth year, and my goal was at the beginning of this ride was to clear the $100,000 mark in the 5 years that we've ridden, and right now we're already past that, so I'm pretty tickled about that.
Quite often, many of them have family and have young kids or teenage kids, and it's great to be able to do something to support them.
It's very important to us. We all know somebody that's on that wall. I have two acting captains that I've worked with in the past that are on that wall that both died of cancer-related illnesses, and to have the families come for the weekend and you're able to spend some time with them and you can see them grieving and you can see how much they appreciate us being there and the ceremony going on.
The memorial ceremony in Ottawa will be held virtually. To donate, you can visit the Canadian Fallen Firefighters Foundation website.
One last look at the forecast, Michelle Jobin, and we're dealing with weather watches and warnings.
Well, yes, absolutely. And if the sky behind you is any indication right now, Nathan, we are definitely seeing the active weather moving in on the Toronto area. We are actually under a severe thunderstorm warning in the Toronto area right now. This extends down towards the London area, up past Barrie. I'd hope we had a little bit more time, but this squall line is moving very fast now at 65 kilometers an hour, packing winds up to 100 kilometers an hour, heavy downpours, and the potential potential for hail. So this is going to be with us for the next little while. We'll get another round in the overnight hours as well, early morning hours. So do be aware that these storms are quite dangerous, and you'll want to certainly seek cover and not be outside. Back to you, Nathan.
All right, thanks, Michelle. Be sure to join Zoraida Allman later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going through our website. And a reminder, CP24 tonight begins momentarily on CP24.
For Michelle Jobin and all of us at CTV News, have a good night.
Thank you.